Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201. And if you're listening to Sirius XM online as well, and at our website, stevebick.com. And if you're listening on Radio Free Bolivia, congratulations to you. A beautiful morning following a somewhat inclement weekend. There was a little bit of wet and off to deal with, but not much. A little bit. Saturday, New York, track dried as the weekend went on, and a nice variety, I thought, of miscellaneous, and everywhere you turned. Actually, I kept sort of being drawn in every time I went back to watch a race. Tina said, "I thought you said that was it. I thought you said that you just needed to watch that." I said, "Yeah, but let me. And then yesterday, Sunday didn't help when Woodbine had their card, and there were the two rescheduled stakes in New York, the Hill Prince and the Knickerbocker, and we're going to talk to Tommy Bush, actually, this morning. And, then even late, we were watching TV and baseball games coming on, and she says, "What are you watching now?" I said, "Well, the Twilight Derby," and she just was, she was getting increasingly disgusted. I'm sure a lot of you can identify with that. I mean, it started too on Friday, and then I tried to get up in the middle of the night and watch the Australian races. It didn't work. I couldn't. She's like, "What are you doing? Get back in bed." Okay. I'm not going to argue. And it had that funny. It was that kind of funny weekend. I mean, it literally went from we got off the air on Friday all the way till, fairly late last night. This is the life we've chosen. So convincing her that, this is time well spent. It's time well spent when, when there's a nice hit. And when you buy her, "What's this for?" "Well, I had a big hit." So there you see, that's okay. And by the way, when it comes to the way the news started early on Friday, that included a piece of news I really wish we had known going into into the weekend, because John Curran, I'm going to start with this. John Curran, I saw, mid-afternoon, or it might have even been late Friday or Friday evening, I saw the news that from Delaware Park that it was going to be John Curran's last calls. And I was, taken aback. I mean, there's a few voices that just literally for as long as you've been listening and betting and watching races, there's some names and synonymous with the racetrack that they're calling. And John Curran and that, very distinctive cadence and pitch and intonation that he's got. He's got a wonderful voice. And I was, stunned, actually. We had John at the beginning of the meet, had John on, And I, you know, I was pleased to get him on, and his sound, it just won't be, you know, everybody adjusts, but it won't be the same. It just won't be, it won't feel like Delaware Park when you put it on and you hear a new race caller. And, you know, and I'm sure for a lot of people, you know, the most, you know, the biggest opportunity you had to listen to John's calls was on things like Delaware Oaks Day and on on the Del Cap card. You know, those were the occasion. But for the people who are regular Delaware Park players and, you know, connections, I mean, John Curran is your voice. 37 years that he's been calling the races at the little track that could, or it's but they've got a couple of cute taglines. So I will get John on. I've got to reach back to John Curran, because we had one race at we raced one time. We're one for one at Delaware Park, actually. Rampillion. Went down to, actually, you know how sometimes you go to the track to see one of your horses run, and you know, most times it doesn't work out. And you know, you're still happy you went. This was a trip that I was really happy that I went, because it ended up becoming an odyssey with a whole bunch of people, including picking up Andy Serling. I can't remember if I picked up Andy in Manhattan or I think I might have picked him up. He'd gotten on the train and they picked him up along the way, picked up Haskin, and then met Freddie Moe, was down there, and John Angelos came out as well, and it just had a fabulously fun day. And then, on top of everything else, Rampillion just crushed. I mean, just absolutely won like a champ that day. It was a perfect. I've been to Delaware Park other times, but you know, not to run a horse. But that was a great memory, and we'll miss the sound of John Curran, and I'm sure, like everybody around the game, they appreciate what a great distinctive sound and, you know, strong race caller. Just one of those, you know, one of those dependable, you just, every time you tuned in, it just was, you got exactly what you were expecting. So, 4 decades of service to Delaware Park, John Curran. From there, it, you know, the racing just unfolded, and that included, you know, some notable, a lot of notable performances we have to talk about, and that beyond even the stakes. Because how about Shug, by the way? Well, let's start with Shug. And, you know, even though there were no, you know, stake performances, Performer, as we had talked about with him the other day, Performer came back and was terrific on Saturday. Wet track and whatever, but came back running. And Dave Grenick is going to join us in hour three today. We'll do Dave's Breeders' Cup categories, his divisions. But he also, you talked to Shug coming out of Performer's effort, and everything that Shug was looking for, I'm sure he feels like he got. That was a very, very nice seasonal debut. So performer heading for the Cigar Mile. And there was also the two-year-old that Shug talked about with us. That was on Friday. 10 for 10. Did you see that? Yeah, 10 for 10. Came back out of the Saratoga race near the end of the meet, where he was a good, good solid second from off the pace. Shug adding the blinkers. This was that frosted colt out of Summer Vacation, the Escondorea that George Kerkorian bred, and Don Adam paid $410,000 for as a Keeneland yearling, and wins in his second start, and very solid step forward, 78 buyer. So 10 for 10 off and running. That was at a mile and a 16th. And, won by whatever he won. The chart says 8, but he could have won by anything. And then yesterday, Shug wasn't done. He won once Friday, once Saturday, one Sunday. And if you weren't watching early, Cafe Society, the Empire Maker, and this for Joe Allen, bred by Anderson Farms in Ontario. And here's a filly that looked awfully nice. Very good effort. Won by 3, but it felt like Jose Ortiz could do whatever he wanted. So big 3 days for Claude Ray. And, the other action at Belmont, we'll talk to Tom Bush, as I mentioned. Close to 10. Get Smoking. I don't know if you saw the tweet I put up, but pretty interesting. Tom Bush, who authored the career of Get Stormy, he's had 3 graded stake winners since Get Stormy retired. All 3 are sons and daughters of Get Stormy. It's crazy. It's pretty funny. Get Smoking was very good and got a terrific ride by Javier Castellano. Holds off Decorated Invader. Wins the Hill Prince, the grade 2. The other, between Get Smoking, Get Mother a Rose, and 55. People may forget, Tom had 55. And she won the Florida Oaks, going back to her 3-year-old year. And it was just kind of a luxury. Tom has got a set, seemingly a pretty set group of including Mrs. Sullivan, and does a terrific job. I was very pleased for Tommy Bush yesterday to win. And Chad with Devin Money early on the card wins the Knickerbocker. And actually, two stake Sunday for double scoop Sunday for Chad, because Etoile won that E.P. Taylor. And that was a good race. That was a good card yesterday at Woodbine. A lot of fun. Gail Cox, haven't had a chance to reach out to Gail yet, but I'll probably get her back on. And boy, what she's doing for Samson, one after another. Emma Jane Wilson with a really well-timed ride on Say the Word to win that Northern Dancer yesterday. And I am looking forward, probably tomorrow, Nick Gonzalez. How happy was everybody for Nick Gonzalez yesterday? Just still in the shadow of the passing of wife Martha, 10 days ago? And Silent Poet won the Near Arctic, and very pleased that we'll be able to call Nick Gonzalez. And since we're mentioning the action at Woodbine, Mark Cassie, who won six races between Saturday and Sunday, he swept the 2-year-old stakes, and you better take a look at what's going on with Mrs. Weber's Super Sensational, because this could be anything. There's no way to know what what she's, I mean, she hasn't, you know, she doesn't even have to be asked. She's just doing everything on her own. It's really impressive again, you know, and don't know if she had to really beat anything in the Glorious Song on Saturday. But, you know, thinking back to the September win over Spitestown Sherrill, who, you know, there was a read on, and there was, you know, there was a real expectation. But Super Sensational comes back in her stake debut, and I mean just jogged. You know, up now at, what, 87, I think. 87 buyer, and, you know, 1 by 4, 3 to 5, and I'm sure, you know, Mark was on last week. Was it last week? Was Cassie on last week? He's been on in the last couple of weeks, and next time we talk to him, I mean, obviously, this is a really exciting filly. And then yesterday for DJ Stable, and this was Helium, an Ironicus colt, speaking of Shug, out of a Thunder Gulch mare, and Helium won off at 3-2 in the display yesterday. So good. And then there were some good maiden races, it looks like, sprinkled in there. But that was fun yesterday. Wasn't really betting Woodbine yesterday, but it was well worth tuning in. In addition, got plenty of Keeneland to talk about and Santa Anita, and between the maiden races that we were heralding and looking forward to, and Warren's Showtimes win on Saturday. Last night it was Smooth Like Straight, the Twilight Derby, and Michael McCarthy, not today with Michael, but certainly we'll get him on because there's a lot to talk about. He's got, as we mentioned Friday with Jay Pridman, there's a bunch of McCarthy Breeders' Cup prospects. So definitely want to talk about the nice return to action by Smooth Like Straight. Umberto Rispoli. It was Pratt aboard Warren Showtime for Craig Lewis, who's going to join us in about 3 or 4 minutes. And very fun to, you know, be able to not just talk about Warren Showtime's win with Craig, but he timed it perfectly. It's nice when it works out like this. His 1,000th career win. 70-ish, 70-something. And pretty cool. Very pleased that we'll be able to talk about the win with Craig Lewis. And then he tried to come back yesterday, too, in that Twilight Derby. He was looking for a weekend sweep. But I'm sure he's pleased. Warren Showtime has been really nice. So, Craig Lewis in a couple of minutes. In fact, let me give you the lay of the land. Craig Lewis is going to start us off here. And George Weaver, we got to get to George. George, not only, he had a weekend like Shug a little bit. He wins the Floral Park with that lead guitar, who looks really good. Here's another McLean's Music. And Louis Saez aboard, lead guitar. And then George also picked off a couple of maiden specials, and he's got a couple of maidens coming up later in the week. So we'll get, I got a method. Vekoma, we're going to get the Vekoma update. Yeah, of course. That was part of the plan to get George on. Tommy Bush, as I mentioned, Graham Motion, and yesterday, Blame Debbie. And it seemed like everybody was trying to figure out a way. Well, you know, let's try to, you want to try to beat Blame Debbie. And I understood. I get it. But Blame Debbie, Manny Franco. And Manny had a good weekend because Venetian Harbor, haven't even gotten to that yet. Venetian Harbor and the Raven Run on Saturday. There was Maker and Stunning Sky in the Valley View on Friday. Then, you know, all kinds of other, you know, there's maidens. There was allowance races. Look at the racing. The racing has been very good at Keeneland. Three more days. How many more days we got? We've got four more days. I think four. Santa Anita too. Santa Anita's got Friday, Saturday, Sunday to wrap up. There was carryover stuff, as well yesterday over the weekend and some really good, you know, some really good opportunities. And speaking of opportunities, got to mention, how about Nick Tamaro for you on Friday? Segoy wins that allowance race, gets to the front, and absolutely terrific under Joe Rocco from Mike Tomlinson. And the mile in the eighth, you know, looked at a couple different times like Segoy was going to get swallowed up, and persevered and kept going. And there were a couple, there was a lot went on in that race. There was a late scratch that of the favorite that, you know, certainly part of it, and busy channel kind of hemmed in, never got a chance to really press Segoy. And all I know is at 23-1, a big score for listeners. And if you listen to Nick, I tried to get through the race, tried to tiptoe and got burnt because of the, you know, the scratch didn't help. But if you use Segoy, there was no reason that you wouldn't have hit for the $6,200 cross country, because the other four horses were absolute must use. You know, there wasn't any of the other four that weren't on your ticket. You know, Lead Guitar included, and Good Credence in the Nightcap at Belmont, right? And Venetian Harbor, you're using, of course, and Graham's Eclipse, maiden winner, Thinking. Those were the other four. So, great job by Nick. And I know I've already heard from on Twitter, a bunch of people, but also email the hitters of the pick five, and they did it for small money. That's got to be, you know, part of it too, because, you know, the other four legs, you didn't have to get creative. I mean, there were plenty of considerations. I mean, I'm very disappointed with the way I approached it, because I was worried about that first leg, about the maiden race, and then Thinking ends up winning. And actually, you got 3-1 on Thinking. But I also was a little too worried about the stake. And we have to talk about the stake. I'm not sure what the plan was. Didn't reach out for Ian Wilkes, but what was the plan with Four Graces? We're going to try to rate Four Graces in that spot? That was very strange. I mean, not that Venetian Harbor couldn't have won, you know, anyway, but you go to handicap that race and you're expecting there's going to be, you know, some active vying for the lead. So there wasn't. And that's not a horse that you can, you know, you're not, she's not going to win. She's not going to win that way. So that, you know, tactic wise, but we get that all the time, right? Well, when it came to exciting and timely performances, Warren Showtime on Saturday, absolutely perfect scenario, and Flavian Pratt with some daring do and heroics, rallying and providing the Benjamins and Craig Lewis with the Autumn Miss victory. And for Craig Lewis, a milestone win, his 1,000th as a trainer. Craig Lewis joins us. Craig, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
you know, she has been really fun. And of course, you know, there's so much about her and you know, Clubhouse Ride. I mean, this was really a perfect scenario because you think about the last 10 years in particular as you're accruing wins and Clubhouse Ride's involvement. I mean, talk about the satisfaction of a 1,000th career win and Warren Showtime winning the Grade 3.
Well, it was really sweet to win with her. Earlier on the card, I had two other Clubhouse Rides run, and they both ran terrific to run second. So a little frustration was setting in, but as it turned out, I was happy that they did run second because it was more fun to win with Showtime. And the Warrens, who are domiciled in Las Vegas, they were here, and I campaigned their mother for them as well. So I trained the sire Clubhouse Ride and Showtime's mother, Warren's Bonita, and they were both just really nice horses. So the end result was very rewarding.
And that's what was so special. And, you know, everybody that, you know, follows the circuit and you know, knows what, you know, the Cal breeding establishment, you know, with the Warrens, and I just thought it was a perfect scenario. And you know, I've been a fan. We haven't talked about her. You know, she's knocked on the door repeatedly and has kept nothing but good company. And you know, really, you look at her record, other than the, you know, the juvenile turf try at down to Del Mar, you know, at two, she's really acquitted herself beautifully every time you send her over.
Well, the great thing about her is her consistency. She fires every time. She's been in the money 11 out of 13 tries, most of them stake races, and the only two times she wasn't in the money is because of trips that didn't go her way. She had a lot of trouble, and both the times she wasn't in the money, or I believe that she would have been in the money. She's just a She's a filly that gives everything that she has every single time, and you can't teach them that. They're born with that. So very fortunate to have a filly her caliber.
Yeah, and it's important, you know, not that the Warrens, you know, aren't going to keep her long term and add her to the broodmare band, etc. But she's Grade One placed coming out of the Del Mar Oaks, and now a graded stake winner. And you know, it's been another good year for the Calbred program in the graded ranks. I mean, there's every few weeks there's a Calbred winning a graded stake.
Yes, well, what she's done is really impressive because three out of the five stake races she's won have been in open company, and in the autumn miss, she was the only cow bred in the race, but she didn't disappoint, as usual.
You know, and I'm just looking, you know, it's also notable, Craig, she keeps getting, if we're going to use, we'll use buyers even, she keeps getting faster, and she keeps climbing with every start. She's getting incrementally better. She's been a steady developer right from the get-go.
Yes, she has. She's a beautiful filly, and like I said, she gives it all every time. She really lays it down. This is a trainer's dream to have a filly like this. They give you what they can give you.
Well, you know, Bill Mott has got Harvey's Little Goyle, who's been moving back and forth between turf and dirt stakes at a high level, and you've got this one. I mean, it should be noted that her dirt tries have been, you know, very solid, and she is, you know, she has a stake win on the main track too. I mean, she's really been versatile, and you know, distances and everything you've asked of her, she's performed.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
What, Craig, between Clubhouse Ride and Warren's Veneta, what qualities is she getting, or do you notice from the dam and sire?
Well, they were both really nice racehorses, hard-trying horses, and very versatile. Clubhouse Ride could do anything. He could run from 5 furlongs to 1.25 miles on any surface, and his offspring seemed to have inherited that from him. Been some really nice Clubhouse Rides running in California. I think he's going to be a stud to be reckoned with down the road. He's growing in popularity daily. People are really aware of him now.
Well, getting graded stake winners goes a long way, and grade one place types, and it's really, you know, that's the best part, is that it's a real backyard labor of love for you and for the Warrens. I suppose the targets going forward, the matriarch's got to be next.
Well, we're exploring all the availabilities, and hopefully we'll find the right spot and keep winning with it.
I should note that has she ever left the racetrack? Even when she's had these couple of little breaks, they don't seem long enough to send her for a turnout.
No, she's never left the racetrack, and there's no need for her to leave the racetrack because she's always been doing great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, five starts at two, eight starts at three. So she's durable, she's versatile, she can go on either surface, and she always acquits herself well. It's a great story, for Ben and Sally Warren. It's great for them to be there, actually. That is a nice part of this, to be on hand when it's been so tough for everybody, Craig. And, for you, talk a little bit. Let's do a little bit of a career retrospective and talk about what it means to saddle 1,000 winners.
Well, it's nice. Winning's fun, but it just requires a lot of luck, a lot of hard work, and just things coming together. But I've been very fortunate to have some really, really nice racehorses, and I'm most appreciative and grateful.
I don't know if I've, in the times we've talked, and I don't know if we've ever really explored your backstory. What got you on the racetrack, and talk about that part of your career.
Well, just loved horse racing from the time I was a kid. I started going to the races with my dad, and really just enjoyed it. In the summer, I worked for a trainer, and then went away to college, and then came back and started training horses. So just the love of the game, love of the game.
Unbelievable. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Long Beach, California, and I went to school in Berkeley, California, Northern California, UC Berkeley.
So nice.
I spent a lot of time on the Eastern Campus. We call Golden Gate Fields the Eastern Campus.
That's right. I love it. Well, you join a nice group of horsemen and horsewomen that are carrying around a pretty heady degree. Right?
Yes, exactly.
I love it.
I just hope the beat goes on, Steve.
Exactly.
Keep trying.
We should slip in a couple of the names that are really well known, and Larry the Legend, when you think about the Santa Anita Derby winner, and Cutlass Reality, probably that had to be fairly early on, right, in your career?
Yes, it was. I had him the late 80s. I'd only been training about 7-8 years when I was lucky enough to get him, and I had Music Mercy, another terrific horse, at the same time, so that was really fun. So, those kind of horses don't come along every day, but they make you. Trainers don't make horses. Horses make trainers.
you gotta have the stock, and you're a great example of having to endure some ups and downs. You're right. You're a victim of exactly what steps off the van.
Yes, you. This game requires a lot of stick-to-itiveness because you're gonna hit some bumps in the road along the way.
Well, certainly the way the weekend unfolded, Craig, just outstanding. You mentioned the 2 seconds, Warren's Candyman in the maiden race to start the day Saturday. Then Dancing Dana comes back with a placement. Then the win. And then yesterday you had the Lucia's Design win that starter allowance. And then Margot's Boy, you tried to sweep the two graded stakes. Talk about the Twilight Derby last night.
Well, that race was a very competitive, tough race. And Margot's Boy's a very aggressive horse. He's got a lot of speed, and he likes to go. He likes to get out there and wing, but we've been trying to settle him down. We got him back off of horses in the Del Mar Derby where he finished second, actually got beat in the last jump. But we might have tried to strangle him down a little too much yesterday, and he didn't respond to it, so we'll go back to the drawing board. We might just let him use the asset he has, which is speed. But he's been a real nice horse for us, too. Another clubhouse ride that can run.
Well, and you've got a bunch. There's any number. When I'm looking, the Brickyard Ride as well. And, you got some of the babies that obviously are, how many do you have?
We've got about rides? A dozen of them here now, but... Wow. He had a big breeding year this year. I think he got about 100 mares to him this year. So wow. It'll be interesting down the road.
Very nice. How many more?
He's a son of Candy Ride, and I think he looks like he could be like his daddy if things keep going the way they are.
Well, and who kept getting better and better mares and kept getting stronger as his career has gone on. Candy Ride, and
you mentioned Brickyard Ride. He ran the fastest half mile at Santa Anita in the last 5 years on his way to victory here in June. He ran a 43 and change half mile, and that's fast over this track because this track's been dead.
Very much. In fact, that was a topic of conversation yesterday with the fog that rolled in and kind of tightened up the racetrack in the morning, at least, because several notable workouts that were going on yesterday, including maximum security. And I saw Jay Pridman commented on the way the track was. And, thinking back to Clubhouse Ride too, Craig, he did a little bit of everything, right? Both surfaces, long and short.
Yeah, he could do anything. Very versatile horse.
So it's not surprising that that these offspring are doing, doing a little bit of everything. Well, then I guess he's the new unusual heat.
It appears that way,
right?
Yes, we're very happy with him. We just hope that he continues with all the success he's already had.
Well, Craig, the same can be certainly, said for you as well.
Thank you.
Obviously, the pleasure you take and the way you work at this, you need these kinds of horses to keep you motivated and keep you going. So thrilled for yesterday wish you continued success.
Well, thank you.
Craig Lewis and 1,000 career wins, and now 1,001 because it came back yesterday to win. And we'll watch for Showtime to come back. And the Matriarch's certainly one option. And she's been terrific. Going back to the summer, she was one of the horses when we were doing the contest. I reached for her in the San Clemente. Yeah, off the win in the Malaire. And Craig brings up a good point. She won the China Doll Open Company. And then also the Malaire was Cal Company. And now, then the two graded stake placements in the San Clemente and the Oaks. And now a graded stake win. I mean, a career top, right? 80, 89? Let me see. She came back here, 80. Yeah, an 89. Early in her two-year-old year. She was running 50s, 48. She broke her maiden with a 48, then jumped up in the Surfer Girl when she won the Surfer Girl. That was actually her first open company win. 67. Then turning to 73, 73, 75, 88, 84, 82, 84, now 89. So steady, steady improvement as she ages. So she should really, you would think that next year as a four-year-old and whatever she's going to do the rest of this year, plenty of upside yet. And you know, she's had let's call it 45 to 60 day little freshenings between her 2 and 3 year old year, and then between the China Doll and the Evening Jewel. But of course, you know, there was inactivity because of COVID at that point. March, April, May had set in. So, I mean, that break almost feels like it was kind of forced on her. Otherwise, she's just thriving on the work. Pretty cool. I hadn't talked to Craig in a while. And of course, we talked plenty when thinking back to Clubhouse Ride. In fact, I'm going to pull him up because he's got, George Weaver is going to join us next, by the way. And there we go. Clubhouse Ride. You know, it's interesting. Only two graded stake wins. And he won the Californian twice, actually. Yeah. But second in the big cap. That was in 2013. So that's got to be, is that a game on dude win probably at that time? And that's right. He went to Charlestown and he put on a real nice streak between the winter of 12 and really all through a good portion of 13, had a string of really strong efforts. Second in the Daytona, and then second in the San Antonio, second in the Big Cap, two game on dude, then the Charlestown Classic, second, and then he won the California. And that Charlestown Classic, I think game on dude went out there too with him. So fourth in the Gold Cup at Hollywood Park. Second in the first Gold Cup at Santa Anita. He really did have the misfortune of he lost to Majestic Harbor in that race, Sean McCarthy. He really had the misfortune of running into Game on Dude repeatedly, but made $1.6 million Clubhouse Ride. Really nice. Craig Lewis, I was looking forward to that. Always look forward to George Weaver joining us. We're going to talk to George about what's going on with him, including the status of a coma. I checked in, I think, last week or the week before. I sent George a note. In fact, I could probably look at it. Because the coma had been, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit, right? So we'll get an update. We'll get an update from George Weaver and talk about his nice weekend, because in addition to the two-year-old, he had two maiden breakers as well. So I wanted to get a hold of George, the Dream Weaver, reaching for this. There we go. For the Floral Park, and lead guitar. And of course, Get Mother a Rose was in this race, you know, with when we talked to Tom Bush. This was a good group. going the six, and lead guitar with Luis Saez and Bohemian Bourbon, and I'll handle the cash. And it's funny, lead guitar started with George. I kind of had forgotten this. It started with George Weaver, and then Eddie Keneally had her for the middle part of the year, and then back to George for the fall. And she took plenty of money here. Of course, Mitchell Rode came out of this race, and Mitchell Rode certainly would have been a major consideration had she stayed. We'll talk to when we talk to Tommy Bush next as well. We'll try to figure out what's going on with Get Mother a Rose, who just has not, other than jumping up and we loved her, actually, if you remember. We loved her going into that South Beach back at the beginning of the year. And she had a little bit of traffic to deal with and might not have been the best effort ever by Rosario in the irons, but then came back and won the Honey Fox, and that was one of the nice pops from the winter. And she just has not really she's kept nice company, but really has just not fired like that since. So we'll get an update on she might need a little freshening up. And of course this was one of the two races in that cross country on Saturday. George also had Playtone, who was in the nightcap that ran Good Credence boy crushed that nightcap. I mean, that race was over before they reached the top of the stretch. All right. We'll do, Case. We're not far off from being able to swap George with Tom Bush. That's an option. All right. So another, because I know it's a Turf Works morning in New York. They had, because of the rain. So Turf Works today. Go ahead and do that. You can try Tommy instead, and we'll come back and get George. We'll get George afterward. All right. I do want to also, I don't want to forget about, we'll do some of the international tomorrow. Steve Anderson will join us tomorrow from DRF. As I told you last week, we're going to cycle through this week, all the DRF correspondents, and go through their status updates on each of their Breeders' Cup categories. Been quite a few decisions that have come out, and to knock on wood, there's been more horses saying they're coming than those saying that they aren't, actually. But we're trying to keep close tabs on all of that. Certainly happy to bring on Tommy Bush and talk about yesterday's Hill Prince. And it seems like everybody's anointed, decorated invader But nobody told Get Smoking. He wasn't worried about it. And Javier Castellano with a very good front end ride, and the Get Stormy Gelding, the latest graded stake winner for Tommy Bush, and of course Get Stormy. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Tom, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. That was a big thrill. It was very gratifying to see the horse win one of these tough ones, because he's been in some fights and he's come up on the losing end. So that was a big thrill.
Well, and you haven't been afraid to, you know, keep the top company and take advantage of the 3-year-old exclusive turf division, and you've also given him the opportunity to succeed at the different distances. And you know, the Hall of Fame, a very good second when only Decorated Invader got by him. Maybe the Saratoga Derby was, you know, the few, you know, 100 yards, 150 yards out of his scope. You know, that's part of having a front-running type.
Yeah, I mean, we were, you know, a bit unfortunate in the Derby because of the break. We got held by the starter, and he kind of really got away in a terrible tangle, and then that made the jockey have to rush him up, and when he rushed him up, that made him pretty rank. So yesterday he broke, you know, in the flow, and Javier was able to, you know, have that nice hold that he can take of him. He fit him perfectly yesterday, and you know, he made a big difference in winning or losing, for sure.
In his development, I mean, talk about what you deal with when you have a horse like this that is showing an indication that he needs the lead, or you know that's where he wants to run.
Yeah, I mean, he's always showing speed in his races. The one thing about him, except for the one race that I just spoke about, I mean, he's an absolutely terrific gate horse for being a long, lanky, leggy horse. I mean, he has a terrific way of coming away from there, and that, you know, that's a huge advantage when you have natural speed like he has. So it's worked out well for him, and he's been on some tracks that where the speed has been favorable enough that he's been close a bunch of times.
Multiple graded stake placed coming into this from the Kitten's Joy at the beginning of the year and the Hall of Fame over the summer. And you know, you mentioned Javier. Javier broke his maiden going back to last September at Belmont, and so Javier reunited with him in this case, so that part of the equation worked. And you know, other than that, I you know, the other questions probably are Mrs. Sullivan going out and buying a Get Stormy. I mean, she's got plenty that she breeds. Talk about, because I don't think we've discussed this, talk about going out and buying a Get Stormy.
Yeah, well, Phil Hager from Taproot Bloodstock, who he's the one that got involved with me in getting Get Stormy to Crestwood, and so he's been involved from day one. And we made a pledge that we were going to look at any Get Stormy that came through the sales ring, and if we liked them, we were going to try to support the stallion if we could. And that's basically what we've done. And Phil's been in charge of that exclusively, and he's done a good job picking a couple of good ones out.
Wow! And 11,000 in the October sale as a yearling, and this obviously, you know, he's gone a long way to exceeding certainly the purchase price.
Well, we love the Knuckles too. They're an old school operation.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They raise a good horse, and they're wonderful people, and I'm really delighted for them too.
Hirschland Farm, of course, and this is funny. I don't know if anybody, because you're not on Twitter, are you?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm not very internet bound.
That's all right. You're not missing a lot. But I did send out a note yesterday because it occurred to me when I went and looked. You've got three graded stake wins since Get Stormy retired, and all three are with Get Stormy sons and daughters. It's 55 in the Florida Oaks, Get Mother a Rose earlier this winter in the Honey Fox, and now Get Smokin'.
Yes. Yeah, we're thrilled to see the horse, you know, able to produce horses that are, you know, competing at a pretty high level. So we need to win a grade one and to match Got Stormy.
Well, this is a terrific win, and Tom, for his down the road element, because he's a gelding, so you know you've got whatever you want to do with him long term.
Yeah, irresistible. Hopefully he'll keep developing.
Well, and I'm just checking. I want to look at the number. 91 buyer. So he ups his career best, breaks through to into the 90s. And I suppose, you know, listening to your thoughts, you won't be afraid to, you know, to keep him at the various distances. Or do you think that, you know, that he should be dialed in into a miler specifically?
I mean, he probably, you know, obviously is going to be a horse that's going to probably be at his best at a mile. I think in a, you know, a true two-turn mile and an eighth with, you know, proper pace and a little luck, I think he can get that far. And he's similar to Get Stormy. I mean, he won the Woodford Reserve at a mile and an eighth, but, you know, he won the Florida Gulfstream Park Handicap. He won that at a mile and an eighth, but he won the Maker's Mark at a mile, and he probably was a little bit better at a mile. But I always regretted that I never tried him long, because, you know, if he could have ever gotten on the lead in one of those mile and three-eighths with slow pace, who knows how far he would have gone. So we'll just have to see. I'm not sure what we'll do here.
Well, this part of a, you know, a busy weekend, you also had Get Mother a Rose. I was talking about her as Casey was reaching out for you and for George too, because George Weaver's going to join us, who won the Floral Park. And I was just kind of, you know, riffing, looking at the PPs. It seems, Tommy, that she, you know, since the winter, she just has kind of, you know, I don't want to say the wheels have come off, but some thoughts about what's going on with her.
Yeah, I thought her two sprint races at Saratoga, they actually both were very good. She got in trouble in both of them, and it's tough going five and a half. It just didn't work out for her. I wasn't disappointed in those efforts. Her effort the other day was not good, but I was very worried about the soft for her. I even thought about scratching her because I know she doesn't like it soft. So that was probably my mistake. But she's going to get a pretty significant freshening before she gets back in a breeze program or anything. So we'll have to figure that one out. But she's better than what she's running, that's for sure.
Well, and when you see a horse do well down in Florida on that, I mean, it it's almost, you know, green colored dirt. It's firm.
It doesn't get firm.
Yeah, she wants to hear the feet rattle, as they say. Well, then we'll look for her this winter down there after a little bit of freshening. Beyond that, you got a bunch that have been sort of, you know, knocking on the door, and you know, since we left Saratoga, talk about, you know, some of the other horses that are, you know, seemingly going to, you know, break through. That Mira Mission shouldn't be.
Yeah, that was a decent effort for that horse, and I think in the maiden claiming ranks, I think he'll be super competitive, and he's likely to run back in a maiden 50, you know, a mile on the turf, something like that would fit him perfectly. And he's not a very big horse, but he's got a pretty way of going, and he might go on and develop for us. We'll just have to play it by ear.
You know, there's a horse that I played over the summer and broke his maiden late. That's Sir Chubby, and he didn't get taken out of that.
No, he didn't, and I had him ready to run here just the other day, and he came up with a pretty significant injury, so he's on the bench.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I did that same client bought the full sister at the Keeneland sale, full sister to Get Smoking for $60,000, and Bill Hager found her for us, and so he had a big rooting interest for Get Smoking yesterday, for sure.
Oh, nice. I like it. And how about a personal favorite I want to check in on, too? Pecatonica.
Pecatonica is good. Can't get a two other than New York Red to go long now. I haven't ruled out running her in the Ticonderoga Saturday. It'd be pretty ambitious, but I'm working on trying to line up a solid jockey to push me that way. But that race is coming up pretty deep with her. But she's had some bad luck as well, trip-wise. And I think she can run better than she is. And she just worked on the turf this morning pretty nice. So I'm leaning that way anyway.
I always, right from early on, fell for her. That's a Berkshire. That's Berkshire Stud, right?
Berkshire Stud, yep. I've trained for Doug Cook for over 30 years.
This is a Temple City. I just pulled it up. Temple City, out of the Quiet American Mare.
And she has a two-year-old by Point of Entry here that's ready to run, and she's quite nice. We're very, very excited about her.
What's the name?
Her name is Eau Claire. It's a town in Wisconsin.
Oh, sure.
T-A-U, Eau Claire.
Yeah, absolute.
Yep.
They couldn't have been too happy with the Packers in Eau Claire yesterday.
No. that didn't look too good.
Pretty funny. Tom, always pleased when you do well, and this was a nice win, and it looks like there's plenty of upside yet for Get Smoking.
Steve, I appreciate it so much, and appreciate all your support for racing. You're great.
Too kind. Tom Bush, everybody, and don't look for him on Twitter, but look for him around the racetrack when you get to go back to the racetrack, everybody, and a lot of fun. We're going to stay right here because George Weaver has turned up, and like Tom Bush, George probably had some tough works going on this morning. George, good morning.
Steve, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Just talking to Tommy Bush, and you guys actually crossed paths on Saturday in that Floral Park, and I was telling everybody some of the scenario that has gone on with Lead Guitar. Started with you, and then spent some time this year with Eddie Keneally, and now back with you, and now a stake winner.
Yeah, you know, early on when we got her, we recognized her as being a pretty talented filly. And, you know, I think she had a couple of periods of time off, and being a New York bred and a little better on the turf, you know, I got her for the first two seasons. And I think, you know, Jim Hill, I don't know if you noticed, but he's got the Margo Farm there in Kentucky, and he's put a lot of money into it. It's a beautiful facility. You know, they do layups and break horses and train horses there. But he liked to, you know, base most of his horses there, and you know, he gets a chance to bring them back to the farm and turn them out between races and stuff. And he's really more focused on Kentucky circuit. He likes Saratoga, but you know, he just feels like with his farm there and stuff that. So you know, he kept her there in Kentucky, and you know, she won an open one other than over there at the beginning of the season, and. You know, I think she ran on the soft turf there at Alice and got a little antsy in the gate, whatnot. And, Then he brought her up here for the New York Red 200 Am with Eddie, and the filly ran big. I was in the race with Spicetown Gal, and he decided to just leave her up here. And we were glad to have her back. And, you know, she ran a couple of big races, and, you know, she's definitely showing some of the things that we thought she could do early on.
What's interesting is, you know, she's McLean's Music, and out of a finality mare, and I got to go find out a little bit more about finality.
I know finality. When I was with Todd Fletcher, it was a dogwood horse, and the horse could run. We got a set of four horses in April. Dogwood always used to send 2-year-olds in, and finality was one of them. Another one was Smoke and Frolic in the same year. I'm almost 100% certain because I remember that.
Wow.
And so that was a dog. Finale was a dogwood horse that eventually got very good on the grass, ran some big races on the grass. And I guess he earned himself a right to be a stallion there in Canada or whatnot. But I'm familiar with Finality. That's why when I got this mare, I was like, oh, my God, a Finality mare? Where did they find her?
How funny is that? And actually was a New York bred. Was a New York bred, and that Al Freed was the breeder, and Dogwood absolutely made $375,000, 5 for $15, and has a handful of nondescript in terms of the progeny. Leading progeny earned $30,000. This is pretty crazy. How about that?
It is
unbelievable. He was by De Hare.
Yeah, exactly.
How funny! So, I've never seen his name on a pedigree like that, George.
No. But he had some talent. Now he had it right.
How about that? And the dam's name was Eladora. Windley Farm bred this one, and was a $200,000 Saratoga, New York yearling. And
she's a really good looking mare. She's a really, you know, she costs that much. She's an outstanding looking individual. She's just a tank, and she looks like a runner.
And what's interesting too, George, is she's been versatile when it comes to attacking races. She's won on the lead. She's won from well off the pace. It's a little unusual.
Well, the reality is she's not really a 21-44 type horse, but especially with Louie, who is a forward placing rider anyway, she can and will show a little speed if you ask her to. When she broke her maiden up here last year, I mean, it was a paceless race, and I mean, I told Louie to warm her up good and put her on the engine. Hopefully she'd be there, and man, when she went to the front like she did, I was like, this race is over. And I felt the same way. In the two other than a couple races back, you know, I told them to be aggressive to get up there. And once I saw that she went at the opening quarter in 23, you know, a lot of times when you're a trainer and you're watching races, you're still kind of don't know. I knew what was going to happen after that. When she opened up with a 23 quarter, I was like, this is over.
You realize Louie's 3 for 3 with her.
Yeah, she's, you know, and I credit Louis a good, great deal for her success. He just, you know, I think it's a really good fit. He knows her well. She runs very well for him. And, you know, I've been lucky to have been able to get him on these two starts.
Well, Lead Guitar wins the Floral Park, and it was part of a outstanding weekend, George. Going back to Friday as well, because Dollar Mountain breaks the maiden, and also on Saturday, Texas Basin breaks the maiden. Talk a little bit about what's going on. You're having a very good Belmont.
Well, both of those horses, you know, it just kind of things happened. So many things go into winning a race, and it just so happened both those horses, I ran on the turf first time out. They were training okay on the turf and dirt. Like they trained equal. And I'd already had in my mind that I'd like to get Dollar Mountain maybe on the dirt at some later moment, but she ran well enough on the turf. Well, let me, you know, I was like, well, let's go back in a turf race, and if they take it off, I'll stay in. But it certainly, when they did take it off and it was a four-horse field, I already knew that she handled the dirt equally as well as she did on the turf. And, you know, it was just a good scenario for her. And she's been green, a little bit of a green filly, doesn't really, really hadn't figured everything out yet. But I was real happy, you know, she opened up on that field yesterday, and I thought it was a great education for her. And it looks like she's going to be versatile and have a lot of options.
Well, and, of course, that was one of the races from Friday that came off the turf, and this is a Brary Jones homebred, and really a homebred, because out of a daughter of Istan and by Upstart, and talk about the successful appeal colt, Texas Basin, and this was a bit of a thriller.
Yeah, I tell you what, he impressed me. You know, when they come off the turf, they're a little bit diluted. It's not like you're running. The odds are when they come off the turf that you're not running against a real good one. You know what I mean? It
sure
can be a little watered down. But for Dollar Mountain and this horse, Texas Basin, you know, I do like him, and I just thought it would take him a couple races. But Texas Basin is a horse that I talked to Eric Hansel before the race. You know, the first time we ran, he left there a little bit slow. Eric made kind of a big wide move around the turn and then flattened out. And so going into this race, I was talking to Eric before the race, and I just said, look, we know he's not great. You know, he just hasn't broken that well out of the gate. He's not going to be quick out of the gate, at least, you know, right away. It's going to take him a while to learn. And I told Eric, I was like, look, you know, save your ground. And, you know, make him move a little bit later than last time. You know what I mean? Because I saw that he flattened down. I was like, well, maybe if we just kind of postpone when you push the go button, it might work out. And I thought Eric did a great job. He stayed on the fence, saved ground, and then when he passed the quarter pole, I mean, the horse, I think his final quarter was maybe 22-4, something like that, which is, I just thought it was a real gutsy performance. I was real pleased with his acceleration and, you know, the way he won the race. I thought it was pretty gritty.
Well, and bred by Hinkle, and I'm just looking. I had what did I do with it? I had the numbers, and now, of course, when I need them, they're not at my fingertips. I wanted to see what the hell did I do here, George? I had. All right, I'll look for it. I will look for it, and we'll come back. Because there's plenty of other things to discuss, including some upcoming starters, as well as Breeders' Cup. And I reached out to you, I don't know, 10 days ago, checking on Vekoma's status. Give everybody an update working toward the Cup.
Well, things have been going smoothly. The horse worked in 101 up here in Saratoga yesterday. I think it was a bullet work. And, you know, I was happy with him. He worked with his workmate Majestic Dunhill. They've worked many times together. They're both solid, talented horses in their own right. So it's you know, they're able to keep each other honest, and it was a good work. And you know, I think we got one more work maybe next Sunday, Monday, and we should be ready to go. Horses, you know, he's fresh. He's doing well. I don't have a foot issue I'm dealing with or anything like that. So we're excited to get him back in action and. You know, hopefully he can crown this year's resume with a big win.
How much of this was by design, or you know, had there been some other considerations? Because when we talked over the summer, it seemed like you know there might be an interim start, you know, getting ready for Cup, and then also talk about you know how much decision making has gone into sprint and versus dirt mile.
Well, I would have liked to run them once in between. That a Forgo was in a sweet spot for me. You know, I thought it was a grade one at Saratoga going 7/8. That would have been a lot of fun. I think it would have been real tough. And it just didn't happen. You know, he had feet issues and whatnot, and it just took longer to get over it than I thought. And all that being considered, you know, we got him back on track. I thought about the Vosburgh and whatnot. It just, the timing wasn't right. And it just came down to the fact that we're not going to be able to get a race in to him between now and the Breeders' Cup. I don't think he needs a race. to perform at his best in the Breeders' Cup, it just would have been fun to see him run again. You know what I mean? He's a superstar horse, and I wanted to give him another chance to go over there and kick some butt. But we're real happy with him now, and we're going into the race the right way. So I think it's we're really about 19 days away or something like that.
That seems about right. Right? Yeah, we got November 7th. That's about right. And how about the decision when it came to the distance?
It's not an easy decision. I think that if the race was at a Churchill or Belmont, the one turn, I feel probably a little more confident in him doing a one turn mile as opposed to a two turn. But he won the Bluegrass a mile and eighth, so. To be honest, we're not 100% decided, but we're leaning heavily towards the sprint just because the horse is undefeated around one turn. You know, we had a conference with Javier, and Javier seemed to think that the sprint was the way to go, and that's something that I was feeling in my gut anyway. So there's a lot of things that are kind of pushing us towards the sprint, but the reality is he could probably win both races. He's just a really good horse, and that's what really good horses do. They can win at top levels at more than one distance, and I think that that's where he stands. But, I think the sprint is the way we're going to end up going, and we'll make a final decision as we get closer.
Well, and when you think about it, because this came up last week with Dale Romans, we were talking about Mr. Freeze with him, and the automatic assumption was that he would go, out of the Fayette, that he would go dirt mile. And I asked Dale, would you consider him for the sprint? Because isn't a run in the sprint, win or lose, mean more to him, going forward than running in the dirt mile? The sprint is the more, not even close in terms of prestige. And I don't think there's anything, there's no benefit to him running in the dirt mile.
No, and that's part of it. I think it means more for the horse as far as, if he were to perform well, and when you think about Eclipse Awards and stuff, I think the, the sprint, if he were to win that as opposed to winning a dirt mile, I think he would cast him in a, elevate him to an even more special status. Everybody knows that the horse is very talented and, this and that, but the Breeders' Cup is the championship at the end of the year, and it's a way for him to put a crown on the top of his achievements. But I do think that it's just a little more sexy winning the sprint than the mile. They're both great races, and Liam Snap won the mile. He was a great, very talented horse. It's just, I feel like the mile just doesn't get the same kind of it's just doesn't have that same kind of oomph to it, that some of these other races have.
Agreed. I completely agree and understand. We'll certainly got him on the top of our, of our sprint division list. Let me also check in on Point of Honor and what her status is off the good run, the good second, and the Beldame.
Yeah, Point of Honor came out of that race well, and we're looking forward to giving a try in that Breeders' Cup. She bounced out of a good, and I think, we're going to be a little bit of a long shot in there. We're winless on the year, but I think a two-turn race with an honest pace is really benefits her. We've been caught in some short fields with, pace scenarios that didn't necessarily help her. And she's just that type of horse. She doesn't have the early foot necessary to make her own trip. She needs a trip. She needs to get the trip and for some things to happen. So, but we're real excited about her. She seems to come out of the race well, and we're looking forward to giving her a shot.
Well, of course, that was just last week. Will she get at least what, like a maintenance work, or one serious work or not?
Yeah, she'll have one solid enough work for that race. She puts a lot into her gallops on a daily basis. She doesn't need a lot of, she wouldn't need a lot of breezes. I plan on breezing her one time.
Well, the pretty nice way to head into Breeders' Cup Saturday with Point of Honor for the Distaff and with Vekoma for the Sprint, seemingly. And, George, I do want to ask about one horse. I don't think that what makes Sammy run is a turf, juvenile turf sprinter, but that was a very nice win.
Yeah, he's kind of beat me. I'm not sure what was behind him, but, man, he opened up pretty easily there. We liked him on the grass all summer, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't get to run on the grass. You know, it didn't get to run on the grass in Saratoga. We'd come off the turf, but, you know, luckily it was an auction race that he won, and it was nice that the spot went, and, man, he looked real impressive.
87 buyer out of that, you know.
Yeah, no, it was a good speed figure, and you know, it's we're looking forward to seeing what he can do. It's obviously it's a little bit tight at this time of year to make the Breeders' Cup and whatnot. It's a little comes up quick and probably a little too much to bite off and chew without respect to the fact that it's probably it'd be impossible to get into the race in the first place if it overfills. But there'll be some good, you know, there'll be some big opportunities for him. And the way he ran the other day, I think that you know, he's definitely got stakes race potential.
Well, are you in contact with Dora and company about a spot for him in the juvenile turf sprint?
Yeah, we're talking. You see how the horse is doing and whatnot, and you just never know. If he were able to get in, you never know.
Glad I asked. And of course, you know, we've talked when he made his debut, and then with the win. This is Sterling Racing. Do you know why? What their motivation was? You know, what makes Sammy Run a very memorable novel by Bud Schulberg? And I was immediately interested in him just by name alone.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that, but the man behind Sterling Racing is Sam Herzberg, so I assumed it had to do with him. But anyway, it's interesting. It's tied to that novel you mentioned.
I when you get a chance, you ask Sam because it's a very interesting book choice to name a horse, but it was certainly provocative. Sammy Glick.
Well, he barely got in with the letters, right? How many can you have? 18 characters.
That's right. That's right.
Must have been tight. It's tight on my training chart.
I love it. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He just gets in. I love it. What makes Sammy run? Let me ask you, George, before you go, talk about the race this Friday. And in the nightcap, looks to be a pretty fancy group of maidens. These are two-year-olds. You got Girl Dad, the Malibu Moon gelding running back. He's been gelded and he puts blinkers on, so he's getting a makeover. And then you were debuting Ghost Stalker, an exaggerator colt for Matt Gatsis and Randy Hill, and going to try to capture a little more lightning in the Vekoma bottle.
Yeah, we hope so. Both horses are training forwardly. I think that Girl Dad's had a couple of runs. His first race actually was encouraging, and then the second race, he kind of, I don't know, he up there at the quarter pole, he tried to make a right-hand turn and just wasn't real forward. You know, was instead of running forward, so that's the reason why we're throwing some blinkers on him, and we made the best equipment change ever, making him a gelding. And he's responded real well to it. He's a happier horse as he is, and I think the blinkers are helping. Ghost Stalker, he's had several workouts, and physical fitness certainly won't hold him back. The horse is fit as a fiddle, and he's a little bit green in his own right, and I'm not sure he's a first-out win candidate, but we do like him long-term.
Now, a pair, and this is a mile on the grass in the nightcap, and there's a little bit of everything. Bill Mott has got Don Disney's Homebred coming back, Simovich. Chad's got Secret Potion, for Peter Brandt and Bob LaPenta and partners. How about a Judmont, another Bill Mott runner on the rail, Hatcher, a Tappet, and the always dangerous Roy Lerman with a homebred of his, Private Code. Chad's got a Larry.
Yeah, Best. Roy Lerman always pops one every year.
I think every he might have gotten it. I think he might have gotten his pop a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, all right, good.
Well, meantime,
it sounds like a typical Belmont Maiden race. It looks like it's the bench is deep, and it'll be interesting to watch.
Well, you got Claude Ray McGahee III with a Janney homebred as well, making a third start. Scarlet Sky. Christophe is in here with a Three Chimneys homebred. I mean, this is nuts. This is a deep group of turf routers. And Georgia, after the weekend, you popped up now. You're fifth, tied for fifth in the trainer standings. 7 wins from 20 starts.
Yeah, I looked on the NIRA website, 35% wins and 70% in the money, and I was thinking, man, I wish I could stay there, but it's not something you can maintain long term. But we're glad to go on a run. We had a quiet Saratoga, and that's kind of the way it goes in my barn. You know, it kind of goes in a wave cycle, and unfortunately, you know, we were on the bottom side of it during Saratoga, but we've got some nice horses. We're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup, and we're glad that things are going well right now.
No, it's been a very, very good year. And George Weaver, everybody, and some babies yet to come. How many more? How many unraced 2-year-olds are left in the barn?
Oh, I got a ton of them. I haven't hardly done any of them.
Wow.
I've got a bunch that had to go home. And so we'll have plenty of It's been a COVID type year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's thrown everybody off. But that's interesting that you've got. So we're going to see a steady parade. How many will head south to Palm Beach Downs, and how many stay in New York?
Well, it's going to be a horse by horse scenario, Steve. You know, whoever can make more money up north will stay up north, and whoever, you know. We end up getting a lot of horses ready during the during the winter and set us up for the rest of the year. So anyway, we'll have a lot of action next year. That's for sure.
Nice. Well, you got plenty of action right now with two locked in for Breeders' Cup, and we'll keep an eye. We're going to add what makes Sammy run potentially as a possible for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. George, well done, and keep him healthy, happy, and look forward to Breeders' Cup.
Great, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Always fun. George Weaver, who just... does a terrific job, and has this is Weaver-esque when he goes on these runs, and you know, a lot of times Saratoga, he'll get bursts of wins, and he's, you know, he was a little, last two summers he'd been a little quiet, but I think in both cases, actually, now I'm thinking about it, in both cases he had big Belmonts on the front end heading into Saratoga, and now having a big Belmont on the back end. So there we go. We'll head to the break here. Let's head toward a break. We got Graham Motion yet, Dave Grenig as well, and plenty of, I got all kinds of stuff to feather in for recapping. I mentioned Steve Anderson tomorrow. In fact, let me start taking some notes. Steve Anderson. And we'll check in with Andy, too. We would have had Steve today, but he's got a dentist appointment. And maybe, you know what, I may have a little window. Maybe we'll reach for Michael. All right, maybe we'll see if about getting another, we can call it Pletcher Assistant Monday. Ham. Weaver and McCarthy. That might be a good fit. All right. You can hear it in my voice. I mean, it's 90 minutes in and got to take a break. Back after this, Graham Motion going to join us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.